text I want to start with is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul the Apostle starts out 2 Corinthians by telling us that he's had struggles and trials. He was burdened, was beyond his own capacity, beyond his own strength. He was incapacitated. The Bible says in chapter 1, verse 2, that he was weighed down exceedingly beyond his own power. We were exceedingly depressed, completely overwhelmed, crushed far beyond what I could stand. A couple weeks ago, I started on how to overcome incapacitation. And the way Paul described it is, because this church helped him in prayer, he said that he learned not to trust in himself, but in God who raises the dead. And he said, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, who will deliver us, on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. That reminds me of what I shared in my text a couple weeks ago, that David, when he stepped in and overcoming incapacitation, he saw that Israel was incapacitated by Goliath and the armies of the Philistines, thousands of them. For 40 days, they were stuck. They were frozen. They were like statues in the storm. I've been reading to you out of the book, The Survivor's Club, and talked about this survivor of this boat sinking the Estonia back in 1994 up there in the Baltic. He was struck by how many people were just incapacitated in a moment of pressure. And I feel compelled as your pastor to address some of this. And if you want to write the title of the sermon, it's Survive and Thrive. Survive and Thrive. And I want to show you the value of survival and how to do it. And I want to show you the God's will for thriving and what that really looks like. Because we, in fact, are more than conquerors. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure. What treasure? The light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus. The presence of the one, the greater one. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The greater one lives in you, and we have treasure in these little clay pots we call our earthly bodies, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. As I tell you how to overcome incapacitation, as I talk to you about surviving and thriving, it is not an appeal to our own skills and our own humanity. It's an awareness. I want you guys to understand, number one, God is the sustainer. Number two, his word is true. And number three, we need to learn to maintain and identify and recognize this fact. God delivers. In fact, that's what Paul said. The God that delivered me is delivering me and he will deliver me. And that sounds a lot like David when he told Saul in confronting Goliath, a little 17-year-old with peasant clothes and a smooth stones and a sling. He said, God delivered me when I was a shepherd, when I was tending sheep, when a lion and a bear came to attack the flock. And I took that lion and punched him in the nose, grabbed his beard. And boy, that's way beyond human. Lions are bone crushers, man. They're called the king of the jungle for good reason. And you see these examples of bear attacks. You know, there are black bears in Missouri. Did you know that? You know where they live? In your yard. Anyway, I just thought I'd tell you that. They're in your trash cans right now. No, I'm just kidding. They're in the where we camp. And Mark Twain, that's where we should go camp some more. We're overcomers. We're not stupid, but we'll watch out for the bears. I'll spray bear attractant all over you, and then I'll go on the other side of the tent. That's what you do. And when you go swimming with sharks, you take a knife and a partner. And when you're swimming, no, this is what you do. And an Australian told me this. He said, what you do is if a shark comes by, you stab your partner in the leg, and then you swim away, and then they fast as you. That's survival. It's how you do it. We're talking about survival. Paul the Apostle said, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken. Who are the we? It's Paul the Apostle. It's believers in general. It's the church of Corinth. It's life. It's what the psalmist said. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord has an answer to each one of these situations. When the flood came in, God raised a standard against him. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises a standard. That's why it's so significant for me that later on in 2 Corinthians, Paul talked about how he overcame so many different things. He said, I was stoned, I was beaten, I was three times shipwrecked, night and day I spent in the deep, the frequent journeys, dangers in rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, in the city, in the wilderness, on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've labored in hardship and sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, without food, cold, exposure. I mean, he wrote Philippians, which is where we're going to end this message, from a prison cell. So Paul did not live an idealized, easy, cushy life. So when he tells us that we're more than conquerors, he means it and he understands it. When he tells us that in all these things, he always leads us in triumph, and that we are the redeemed of the Lord, and that with conviction, as he shares this, it doesn't just make us survivors, it also points us toward thriving. We understand that we are the redeemed of the Lord. We are the ones that God has called out of darkness, that we have a covenant with a faithful God. That's why David overcame incapacitation by saying to Saul, "The God that delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Question. How many of you have ever had a breakthrough in your life that was from God? Let me see your hands. You've gotten saved from, that's the biggest breakthrough. Who's accepted Christ and you know you're saved? You know when you die, you're going to heaven. You've got that conviction. That's good news, isn't it? That's peace producing. How many of you have seen someone or you've known of an answer to prayer? Let me see your hands if you've had an answer to prayer. How many of you have had a promise from God come to pass where you just flat out knew it was God? I have too. I mean, some things you could see, there's so much of people in it, but you know, even God uses people. A lot of times in our miracles, he's using people. I got pulled out of the ocean, and I know Captain Pete, God used him and poured out his spirit on Captain Pete and his understanding of currents and of winds and of time, and God used that, and he was a believer. He prayed and accessed heaven and prayed in a desperate way, prayed in faith. Hallelujah. And if Pete were here, he'd say, well, God gave us direction. He saw that he shot way out in the ocean when I was being pulled out by a current, a four-knot current, and I was about ready to be pulled farther out into a faster current. God graciously delivered me. So I could relate to this one. Paul spent the night in the deep. I'm really happy I didn't have to spend the night. Because there are oceanic critters out there, and I did not have a partner to stab. And so that was upsetting. God got me through. And this has kind of got me on an awareness because I knew I could not let myself be paralyzed in that situation because to the degree that I yielded to the mind-numbing stress that comes in that creates that brain lock, it would hamper and hinder and not help me in my moment. I knew that freaking out was not going to be the answer to my problem. And I just want to say to you, Israel was freaking out when Goliath was mocking and jeering and taunting them. Even Saul, who should have been stepping up providing leadership, was hiding in the rocks with everybody else. David's three brothers, Eliab and Abinadab and Shammah, were all hiding, big, virile, solid men, and yet they were hiding and stuck and stagnant. God does not want us to get stuck. He wants us to get unstuck. He said, we're persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. I like to say it this way, knocked down but never knocked out. We always, always, always know the way God is leading us in a situation is in triumph. The Bible says he always causes us to triumph. Hallelujah. I did a hospital visit for a man a few years ago, and he's in his late 80s at this point. He got saved in 1925 over there in Granite City, met his sweetheart and saw her in the choir loft and asked her father for opportunity to date her and so forth. Anyway, he had a condition where he was getting ready to go be with the Lord, and I visited him in the hospital. And I said, Fred, I think there's more for you to do. And he went, there is? I said, yeah. He goes, okay. So he stayed around for 2 more years. And I watched him in the end of where he finally did die in the hospital, where he had day after day of visitations from the Lord, where God filled the room. One day it was like a prayer day. One day it was praise and worship day. One day it was evangelism day, where all his family flew in from as far away as California. Even his doctor from India walked in, knelt at his side of his bed, held his hands and cried and said how much of a privilege it was to get to be his doctor. And I was there. I stood in the room and I cried for hours. I'm glad that because there was still breath in him, there was still more for him to do. Pastor John called me and told me Charlotte was having shortness of breath and was talking about how excited she was to go see the Lord. I said, John, I was out of town. I said, I don't think she's supposed to die yet. He goes, I don't either. I said, okay, put her on the phone. She gets on the phone. She said, hi, Pastor Jeff. Looks like I'm getting ready to go see my Jesus. I said, hey, well, Charlotte, she's a real prayer lady. I said, Charlotte, I think there's more for you to do here. She went, silence. There is? She was a treasure. She stayed around for 2 more years. She prayed sometimes 8, 9, 10 hours a day for you. Our church is what it is because of people like that. We are what we are by the grace of God. And I'm telling you, I propose to you that not only are we survivors, we're designed to be thrivers. And I heard preachers say, get out of that survival mentality. Listen, you got to have one with the other. So I want to endeavor to be balanced here at church. I'm not just in survival mode and maintenance mode. We survive in order that we can thrive. We're called to learn how to endure so we could live another day, so we could provide care for others. We could be on this earth with force as long as we're supposed to be. He said, with long life, I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. And I want to see the full potential, don't you, of all that Jesus has for us? I'm not content just to just maintain. I'm not content to stay in the box. I'm not content just to be mediocre. I look in my Bible and I see that he's made us for survival. He's made us to be more than conquerors. He's made us to thrive as well. The definition for survival is to remain alive or to exist, to live on. That's a good one, isn't it? In that case, how many of you want to survive? There's even a TV show called Survivor. Surviving's important. There are TV shows where they teach people to throw them out in the woods with a pocket knife and some matches and they live for a week, you know. But we Christians, we learn to endure. Here are three definitions. To remain alive after the death or loss of something. This church had a terrible flood, but you know what ended up happening after that, because we didn't quit, we waited around a while, a few years later, 17 years later, a whole population, 3,245 children, none of whom were born yet, filled this place up, and a percent of them responded to the gospel to give their lives to Jesus or to rededicate. To God be the glory. There's value in perseverance. You look and read where people have suffered through the Bible, and there were some great things on the other side of their hardship. Great fruit on the other side of the endurance of their struggle. You just never want to quit. You never want to back down. And in the words of Winston Churchill, if you're passing through hell, don't stop. Number two, to continue to exist or to live. For example, surviving the earthquake, or we survived the flood. Paul survived 3 shipwrecks, trouble in the ocean, a night and day in the ocean, whippings, misunderstanding, hurts, attitudes from other Christians. All these things that happened to him work together for good. Number three, to continue to function or prosper despite hardship and circumstances. To continue to function or prosper despite hardship or circumstances. I do love the Apostle Paul. Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but I have an appreciation for this human being named Paul, the writer of half the New Testament. And the reason I do is because of the grasp he had on Jesus. I love what he understood about the Lord and what he gave to us by the Holy Spirit. I love the example of his life where he said that I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. There's laid up for me a crown of rejoicing, a crown of righteousness, a crown of blessing. And not only for me, but for everybody who survives, everybody who endures. We count them happy who endured, and we are to consider the outcome of their lives so that we might press on. There's a lady, another lady, I'm giving a shout out to the seniors. Her husband died years ago, I prophesied to Marie that she would outlive all of her siblings. She told me she just turned 87 and she's outlived all of her siblings. She's stronger and healthier, and she grabbed me. She gives me these amazing bear hugs and won't let up. One of those, and those real fluffy cheek, nice kisses, you know. And she gives me this bear hug grip. And it's just, I don't know, man, I melt, you know. It's like, and she said, I'm praying for you. She used to come here on Wednesdays, go into that back corner room and pray for 8 straight hours. Our church is where it is because she hasn't given up. She could have checked out years ago. There's just more hills to climb. There's more fruit to bear. And learn how to endure hardship as soldiers. Learn how to survive. We learn from the people who have had some adversity and have learned how to endure. I learned in marriage not to be idealistic about marriage, that you will have conflicts and challenges. You will butt heads with your mate. I'm so grateful I had good counsel at the beginning of my marriage. We're now 32 years into it, better than ever. Flowing, getting along, loving each other. But I'm grateful along the way we had some people give meaningful, helpful attaboys and practical steps on what to expect and how to endure. I love going to a church where people have bounce back ability from the Holy Spirit. This is not a formulaic approach. God is faithful and we have faith in Him because He's trustworthy. God is interested in our survival. He will sustain us. You can read it all through the Psalms. Psalm 1, how blessed, fortunate, to be envied, it says in the Amplified, is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the word of the Lord. It's what he meditates on, focuses on. In his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree, firmly planted by streams of water. Look at this. Which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. That doesn't just sound like survival. It sounds like thriving to me. Now, my boy Kingston, he loves to go over the levee. Now that they've made it a running path, you know, you run up there, and on the other side of the levee is Bonham Creek. And so he and some of the boys in the church, they love to go up there. And a lot of people are running the levee now and staying in shape. Kingston went down there and he walked down. He said, Dad, Dad, Dad. This is what he does when he comes in. I'm in a crowd. Dad, 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 Dad. And he figured something out that gets my attention. He goes, Pastor Jeff Perry, Dad. And then I go, he gets it. It's like, When he was little, he used to grab my chin and pull my face. Remember that? He would grab my chin and pull my face. But he got me and he said, Dad, Dad, I found the biggest tree in Chesterfield. I said, where is it? He goes, it's right over the levee. It's on the other side. It's on the other side of the creek. It's right on the creek bank. He said, Dad, it is so big. I tried to measure it. I tried to put my arms around it, and my arms didn't even bend. When I reached around it, it was straight. It's so big, you can't even wrap your arms around it. I said, yeah, that would be a cottonwood tree. I said, but the reason it's so big, I said, you know the reason it's so big? And he said, well, because it's planted by that creek. I said, exactly. All the runoff from this beautiful, fertile Chesterfield Valley goes into that creek, and those roots go way, way deep, and it is enriched because it's planted by the side of that river. And the scripture teaches that we are the planting of the Lord, that God, we're His garden, and that He is the husbandman, the vine dresser, the one that wants to bring forth the fruit in our lives. He wants us to come and endure. God is pleased with endurance. He's pleased when we take hold of His word and stand with conviction and pray the prayer of faith for one another and hold the promises of God over the circumstances that assail us. He's pleased when we take hold of these things and endure, and when we win. His soul has no pleasure in those who shrink back, but we are not of those who shrink back. Our spiritual disposition in Christ is to endure, is to persevere, is to face off with life's challenges, realizing God is going to see us through. My God has a promise corresponding to every problem we face. The woman that had thyroid cancer, I know how to put her in touch with other people who have gone down the road in victory, and I know they'll get together, and iron sharpens iron. I've seen it happen dozens and dozens of times in this church. The operating healing power of God flowing through those settings. So why did it happen in the first place? because we live in a fallen world. Satan is evil. He's a thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And while we're on this side, planted behind enemy lines, it's just the way it is, we have equipment. We remain alive long enough to see the plan of God come to pass. When I was in New Zealand, I preached, and my message was on the good report, that the good report will keep you alive long enough till you see the promised land. And then I went out in the ocean and got pulled out to sea. But God brought me back. I'm still here. Look. Because of the grace of God, because of the promise of God, and I prayed through my snorkel with tenacity. You should go to the store, buy a snorkel, and pray through your snorkel. In fact, after I got back from that trip, I had my wetsuit, and it was the last day of school, and I went to pick Kingston up, and I wore my wetsuit and my mask and my snorkel because of embarrassment. I thought, what's the greatest way to embarrass Kingston on his last day of school? So I pulled up with a snorkel and a wetsuit. It barely fazed him. He was like, Dad, that's nothing, Dad. You've been way weirder than that. That's nothing. I'd roll down the window and go, I'm Kingston's dad! Hallelujah. It's fun to be a dad, isn't it? Just torture your kids. In whatever he does, he prospers. The definition for thrive is to grow vigorously and to flourish, to gain in wealth or possessions. I think it would be classified as thriving that we had such a windfall of kids come to Christ just in the last few days, that the doors are open to us in a public school in Liverpool, England. Hallelujah. We are surrounded by and are actually even immersed in a culture of endurance. We are more than conquerors. We are the head and not the tail. This is what life looks like. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ. Yeah, there is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he's to be resisted. And we got to get our thinking straight to understand not only are we survivors, not only are there skill sets that are being downloaded into us, not only do we have everything necessary for life and godliness, we're also learning how to implement these things and use these things. We know how to pray for one another. We know how to step up. Amen. Philippians chapter 4 is where we're going to end this message. Philippians 4, some of my favorite passages. Philippians 4, verse 10, Paul the Apostle says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that your care was and your concern for me was stirred up. He said, not that I speak of from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. And if you read about the life of Paul, he learned a full spectrum life. He said, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Can we say verse 13? Only we'll say Christ.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
He called it the secret. Somebody wrote a New Age book about some secret of attraction, blah, blah, blah. But you know, there was an ancient book written. And the secret is just relying on this faithful God. How many of you had God come through for you? He's reliable. Look at how David overcame incapacitation, as I shared a couple weeks ago. He told Saul, who was incapacitated, he said, the God that delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Remember that connect the dots thing we used to have on the back of comic books? Remember that? I love that thing. Sometimes in Cracker Jacks, you get a paper and you unfold it and it was a connect the dots. I try my best to try to figure out what it was, you know, and I'd say, oh, that's going to be a mule. And it ended up being a bull or something like that. And, you know, that's Little Red Riding Hood. It was a baseball player with a baseball bat. It was fun to do it. But you connect the dots. You connect the dots, and it would create a picture. I think we need to overcome by the word of our testimony. There are some of you that have verifiable dot evidence of God's faithfulness in a past situation or trial. Our church has dots of God's manifest grace and patience, mercy, intervention. He's brought us through this point. He's brought us through this situation. He's brought us through these high places, through these wilderness moments, through hardships, through blessing. And he is so, so faithful. He is so faithful that you've got to take hold of this morning, people. You've got to get a hold of this today. Get a grip. Don't be a statue in the storm. Wake up from the fog. The enemy's trying to seduce you into a mind-numbing moment. The other day, Patsy and I were going through significant challenges. And our temptation was just, it was late in the afternoon, late in the evening, it was nighttime. We're going to just sit and watch some mindless television and just vegetate. And Patsy said, hey, let's go in the other room and pray for 2 hours. My flesh just went, couldn't you have said 1 hour? I was in a particularly pious spiritual moment. Pastor Jeff was just wanting to just sit and vegetate and watch TV. And she and I talked about it. We take turns doing this with each other. You know, we could sit and we could watch this and we could be just as miserable. We distract ourselves, numb our minds, and not make any improvement on the situation. Or we could pray, get a hold of God, worship Him, connect with Him, lay hold of His promises, push some of these mountains down in prayer. So what did we do? Turn the TV off. We went in the room. I watched my watch like Mr. Spiritual. I pray for a while. I think, okay, man, that's an hour. It was 15 minutes. It's funny, though, at about an hour and 15 minutes, it was like, oh, man, we're almost, I just wish we had some more time. It's funny how it started turning around. You sow to the Spirit, it starts stirring and stimulating things. Right now, I am speaking spiritual things to your spirit, and it's rousing you, because, and I know this because God's Word is Spirit in its life, and it brings equipping into our systems. Hallelujah. There's stuff for us to do that ought to give you an incentive to overcome whatever weird attack the enemy is putting on your life right now. And I know I'm talking to some people. It's serious for some of you. It's deep right now. So let's just not pretend. Let's just not pretend. Let's get it all out. When Paul the Apostle said that he despaired even of life, that wasn't some cute overstatement to make his letter more interesting. It meant what it said, that Paul was struggling big time. But the people prayed, God brought him through, and there were greater levels of fruit he had ever experienced in his life awaiting on the other side of those moments of survival and endurance. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due time you'll reap if you faint not. I remember how depressive it was, and there were people I've talked to that were part of our church back in 1993, there was palpable, cut with a knife, oppression surrounding that flood. It was dreadful. In fact, a lot of people died from strokes and heart attacks. Marriages split up. Businesses were blown out. The neighbors that were using this building lost $1 million personally in one moment. That's just one example. It was devastating. And as for a church, we got in our building and we labored to get in this building. We were flowing on a prophetic cloud, cutting edge of God's blessing. The realization after several years, over 5 years, we got in the building. We were going from place to place. So how happy we were. And then how sad it was that we lost what we had. But you know, we learned. God transferred us into a situation. What the enemy meant for harm, God turned around for good and taught us a thing or two about suffering and hurting people and how to help them in those moments without being patronizing, coming off all fancy, mishandling the moment. And we know acutely how to deal with that. It's in the core DNA of our church. Our little kids will inherit it. It's a memory that will never be taken away. God took a bad thing and turned it around for a good thing. There are people here that have overcome some of the worst stuff. The chemo almost killed them. They came through, the hair was gone, they were jaundiced. They get on the other side, God brings them through, and they are the go-to reference point for me to send and network people with when they're in trouble. Go get prayer from them. They've been there, done that. There are people in here who have gone through devastation in their marriage. And I tell them, get with these, that they've come through it, they've learned from it, they stayed with it. I know some of them who had more babies after that, and those babies are a blessing. I've seen them come through. I've seen people step up in this stuff, not just to be a survivor, but in order to be a thriver. God's anointed you, and He's anointed me. He's anointed us for battle. He's anointed us to endure. He's called us to take hold of these examples like David, who said, the God that delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. You see a voice like Paul say, I've learned how to live the secret of being filled and going hungry. I know how to abase, how to abound. I can get along in humble means. I can get along in abundance. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let that be the reoccurring focus. Let that be the thing you reference the most, that in Christ, I can win this battle. In Christ, I have help for the people around me. In Christ, my ridiculous bombardment of my mind is going to change. I'm going to get my mind renewed. I'm going to get out of this flesh thing, and I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to see my family. I'm going to see my sphere. I'm going to see my church. I'm going to see my season come into abundance. I'm going to see harvest in my generation. I'm going to see my country flourish with blessing. I'm going to see the leadership of my country make good decisions. I'm going to see the judiciary and the governors and the Congress people and the Senate, the House of Representatives and Capitol Hill make wise choices. They have our health care. They have our futures in their hands. We need to believe God so that we would live in a significant, peaceful way up ahead. I want to pray for you because you're not just survivors in the Survivors Club. God's called you to thrive. And I'm talking to some people who just flat out feel flatline. I've heard messages like this, and I did not feel it. But I'm also really happy to know we don't have to base anything on our feelings. I've gone for years and years without feeling God's presence for one second, one thimbleful. Then I've had times where it was a visitation that must have felt like the Mount of Transfiguration or the Upper Room. And I've learned to abase and abound. It's not based on feeling. It's the fact of God's covenant-keeping promise orientation. He is an ever-present help in the time of need. Come on, man. You guys that are between jobs, hold out on it. I know some of you that have endured 18 months, and you got a job. You look back and say, we sustained through those 18 months. I don't know how, but the God that delivered me from the 18 months, He'll deliver me from this. There's iron being poured into your soul. Iron is being poured into your life. A tenacity is coming in. And I heard a preacher say, God will take that wet spaghetti noodle out of your backbone and put in a crowbar. And that's what's happening. And it's not coming from us just faking it till we make it or doing some other sort of silliness. It comes from this major force of God's great love and power. I am what I am today by the grace of God and by His sustaining ways. My only boast is just how good God is. But that we could have faith in Him and we could pray and trust Him and take hold of His promises is available to all of us. I want every one of us not to be a statue in the storm. I don't want anybody to stay brain locked for too long. God's saying something right now. And in these upcoming days, it's going to be critical at your job, in your neighborhood, at your kids' school, with the people you interact with, that you're in a state of readiness, ready to pray, ready to respond with a word ready on your lips. Ready. I don't mean nervous. I don't mean wired up. I don't mean any of those sorts of things. I just mean you're so conditioned to survive. And when something comes down, you know what to do. Issachar's race understood the times and what Israel should do. Esther knew that she was brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. The Pharisees, on the other hand, did not recognize the day of their visitation. They were brain locked. They were numb. They were in passé religious rigmarole. That's not what God's called us to. Church, God's called us to this vibrant, cutting-edge connection with a living God. And this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Just take hold of a promise. I got to speak at this conference all week, so I got to listen to Ephesians because I got stuck in traffic. Boy, I got to hear the book of Ephesians over and over and over and over again. I dare you to do that. How many of you have an iPhone? Let me see your hands. Or you have an MP3 player, or you have CDs. Get the Bible into your melon. Get equipped. Become familiar with the Scriptures. It'll give you an advantage. You're like spiritual paramedics. You're shock absorbers in a world that is traumatized. You don't know what you signed up for, but God's ordering your steps. You get a hold of this, it'll help you. But I'm advocating the people that God's going to have you around. There are people that I won't get in touch with ever, but you will. And God wants to use you to have a presence and have a place of potency where not only are you a survivor, you know the rivers of living water flow through you. God doesn't need us to put on religious affectations with this either. We're at our best when we're supernaturally natural and naturally supernatural. We don't need church lingo. We don't need to, because they don't even get that anyway. But they do need authentic church, the forward presence of the kingdom of God thriving. Your neighborhood needs you. Just walking with God. They'll bring their sick to you, even the ones that make fun of you and mock you. I've had it happen over and over again. That's why we are to take care of and bless those who curse us. Pray for those who despitefully use us, because we'll end up being the ones that will help them, because God's given us answers. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for bringing these people through. Thank you for a home base in Chesterfield from which to reach the nations of the world. Thank you, God, for the plumbing improving, the pipes getting bigger for bigger capacity. I believe that's a natural parallel to a spiritual happening. You're laying channels in our hearts of greater capacity for the upcoming days. I trust you, Lord, to help each person in this place to endure, to see the fulfillment of every promise. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. I pray people see the fullness of all that you have for them before they die. I pray they live large. I pray they live strong. I pray a continuance, an endurance. I pray that an abiding confidence into people's spirits. In Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen, you guys. Survive and thrive. Come on.